I think she's supposed to be back, you know.
She's back.
He's back, or I didn't see him.
He's supposed to, but I didn't see him yet.
Yeah, he says on his occasion, I just want to make sure that I haven't seen him.
Yeah, he went to Jordan, but I'll call and check on
him. Alhamdulillah. الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما. اللهم لا تجعل فينا ولا من بيننا شقيا ولا محروما. إن شاء الله we'll continue where we stopped last time on chapter 27, the Hajj and Jihad with the Imam. قال المؤلف رحمه الله والحج والغزو مع الإمام ماض وصلاة الجمعة خلفهم جائزة ويصلي بعدها ست ركعات يفصل بين كل ركعتين هكذا قال أحمد بن حنبل.
The author said, performing the pilgrimage and waging battle must be along with the leaders. Observing the Jum'ah, Friday prayers behind them is permissible, and six raka'ah should be observed after it, separating between every two raka'ah. This is the view of Ahmad ibn Hanbal. The commentary on this, the powers of the imams are many, and they have been mentioned and brought together for study in the books of Ahkam al-Sultaniyya, the Islamic rulings related to the Sultan, which has been written concerning this. Books such as Al-Ahkam al-Sultaniyya by Al-Mawardi and Ahkam al-Sultaniyya by Abu Ya'la al-Hanbali and other books written concerning the subject contain explanations of the powers of the Imam. And this is mentioned in the books of fiqh as well as the books of aqidah, as mentioned here. Firstly, he is in charge of leading the Jum'ah and the Eid prayers, and the Muslims will observe Salah behind them, except if he himself chooses to be substituted by somebody from amongst the scholars or students of knowledge who will lead the people in prayer. However, the foundation is that he is the most entitled to be the Imam in Jum'ah and Eid prayer. But he has the right if he chooses someone to substitute him, and this is what is being done nowadays. Secondly, he is the one who leads the Hajj, steers the pilgrims, gives them orders and looks onto their problems. Establishing jihad in the path of Allah is from the jurisdictions of the leader. Thirdly, carrying out jihad in the cause of Allah is one of the powers of the Imam. He is the one who gives the order for it, organizes the banner, selects the soldiers and fights, appointed wars, commanders, mobilizes the brigades and soldiers, arms the fighters, dispatches them towards fighting the enemy, and specifies for them the point on which they fight. So carrying out jihad is a part of the powers of the Imam. Jihad should not be carried out in chaos, whereby everyone who desires to carry a weapon fights and attacks and says, I'm fighting for the cause of Allah. This is not jihad in the cause of Allah. Jihad in the cause of Allah must be well organized and guided by Islamic rulings. But if chaos gets into it, then it becomes destruction, as its harm becomes more than benefit. And that is if there is even any benefit left in it. In this case, the consequential harm becomes more. These matters have been guideless, and the issues of jihad is great. So it requires discipline and complying with the rulings of jihad mentioned in the Book of Allah, in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as the sayings of the people of knowledge. This issue is not of disorderliness, whereas one of the callers to fitna, leading the extremists, radicals, or ignorant people who do not know that he leads them in destruction, and says, "We are fighting in the cause of Allah." This is considered as harm in Islam and to the Muslims. This is not jihad, because it is not guided by the guidance of jihad. And if it is not guided by the guidelines of jihad, it becomes corruption and not jihad. Whatever exceeds its limit changes to its opposite. They say nowadays, whoever objects to them that you prevent us from carrying out jihad in the cause of Allah, we say, we do not prevent from carrying out jihad in the cause of Allah, but we say that carrying out jihad must be guided by Islamic guidelines. And what you people are doing is chaos and not jihad, and Allah has not ordered us for this. Hence, leading the Muslims during pilgrimage, battle, Jum'ah, Eid, prayers, are amongst the powers of the leaders in authority.
Okay, just very quick and brief to what we heard, you know. The topic of jihad is always kind of make you uncomfortable to talk about, which is something, which is the wrong impression, of course. The talk of jihadists could be talking at any time, at any era, and it's something that it is permissible for the Muslims when they are in the state of war. And right now, we don't have any state of war, and we do not have Islamic leadership. So therefore, what the author is saying, that the fighting and jihad and Hajj with the Imam, as I said, there is no Islamic ruler that we abide by that goes by the book and the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Otherwise, if there is something like that, then you always can point at that leader and tell him, where do you get this, where do you not get this, and you're not going to see any leader with about 25 dozens of protections and helicopters and all this money wasted. And when they sleep in a hotel, they have to close the whole hotel for them, and when they want to fly, they close the airplane, the space for them to for their, and all this lost money. This is not a person who really we call it a Muslim leader. A Muslim leader, he goes with the ra'iyah, he flies coach, last seat,
yeah.
No privilege. You remember when Umar radiallahu anhu, he saw Humr, some red camels, you know, red camels is like the Mercedes at the time. And he saw them huffal, you know, like they fat. And he said, who are these camels? He liked them. He looks like Umar. He wants this for his Baytul Man, not for himself, Baytul Man. He told him, this is for your son, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Oh, who? My son, Ibn Umar. Where is my, give me my son here. So he called his son. He said, what is this? He said, from Mali, from my own money, from my own free money. And he's right, from his own free money. So he said, but these camels are being given a privilege to grace more than any other animals. Because when the shepherds out there, they've taken all the animals, they said, hey, make a space for the camels of the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, put it in Bayt al-Mal, confiscated. See how serious that is? Just because the privilege he's getting for his son, he denied that. This is Islamic ruling, Akhwan. This what you see these days is no Islamic ruling. Someone will go buy a very expensive airplane or yacht or something for hundreds and hundreds of million dollars. Mm-hmm. Where people are starving and cannot find water to drink in some part of the world, or not even that, they've been humiliated and given a second ranking class B citizenship. Come on, If we have a dignity in our Islam, we said, hey, like Malik Faisal, you know, Malik Faisal, King Faisal, what he did? He said, hey, wait a minute, Al-Aqsa is occupied. And this is our first Qibla for the Muslims. No oil until we pray in Al-Aqsa. And he stopped the oil. And those who lived here in the 70s, and they told me there were lines and long lines because there's no oil. He stopped. He manned. He wanted to please Allah. He did not dare for the position, but he was the only clean one. I don't know if there's another clean. If you know, let me know. But he did something and he fulfilled it. Right? Whoever came after that, they're all already recruited. So therefore, we don't have no leadership, Muslim leadership. So when we talk about the topic of jihad, put it on the shelf. Put it on the shelf. Because the only one who gives this ruling is a righteous Amir, Imam. Make sense? So all what you see, these people who are making themselves a jama'ah and carry the flag of the Prophet ﷺ. And we said, we fight for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And most of them not even belonging from the country. They come from outside the countries. Like in Afghanistan, the Afghanis were fighting the Russians. Russians are invaders to their country. So therefore, they have to stick together to defend their land. Yet you find from all millal, even the Shia, they come and they fight with them. Why? Because they try to establish for themselves. They have an agenda, hidden agenda. Because once everything's settled, then we take a piece of the cake. But guess what? This cake is so bitter, nobody can even taste it. The Russian left, they got away, they took their tail in their mouth and they ran away from Afghanistan. The American, they tried to be like better. They went there and they were like throwing millions and millions of dollars, one bomb on mountains to kill a donkey.
Mother of the bombs.
Yeah, like Tora Bora and all these areas. What you bombing for? Well, like this money, tax money, spent for what? Making, you know what, by the way, it's helping the Taliban because they're making roads now. Because they destroy and they make roads. This is the reality, brothers, we live in this time. So what the Mu'allif, the author, is trying to tell us is the real role of the Imam when he is there for that cause. So when he goes to Hajj, is he going there to, have you ever seen any prince or any ruler or any king or president when they come to make tawaf? Yeah. You know what they do? They close the whole thing. They close the whole thing. You know, like the closest one to the Kaaba, so his tawaf would be like fast. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Allahu Akbar, assalamu alaikum. Out. You know? Is this a real ruler? Subhanallah. Harun al-Rashid, when he came, Hajj and other khulafa, when they came, and ulama al-haram at that time. They are sitting there, and whenever they stand for the Amir al-Mu'mineen, and some of them will not refuse to stand up. And he will ask them, hey, why didn't you stand up? You know, we want to give names, but in general make it. And he said, I was about to stand for you, but I remembered قَبْلَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, so I remained silent. Sit down. I remained seated. Yeah, which is true, by the way. القادم على الجالس. Doesn't matter, he's Amir or who is he. When you're sitting and somebody is coming, you don't stand up. He has the right to come and greet you while you're sitting. Like the one who's standing and the one who's riding, right? So the riding for the standing and so on. So there is rights for one who initiate the greetings. But here we do the opposite. Have you seen yourself? You'll be sitting and everybody stand up and you go greet. This is مخالف للسنة. This is not. And you see me in my place. Sheikh, he's coming. Okay, good for him. What's coming? Okay, he will come to me when he finish. So we have to know the little basics of Islam so we can educate others about it. And this is where we at. We'll continue, inshallah, here with this book, inshallah.
His saying, observing the Jumu'ah, Friday prayers behind them, is permissible. Even if they, i.e. the Muslim leaders, have sinful acts and deeds of disobedience, Salah should be observed behind them. This is because observing Salah behind them is a source of unity. Also, if the sinner does a good thing, then you should cooperate with him. If the sinner does a good thing, then you should cooperate him with it. Coincidentally, when it was said to Uthman radiallahu anhu, when he was besieged, so and so is leading the people in prayer while he is not deserving being the imam. Rather, he is an imam of tribulation. He said, O my nephew, if people do good, then cooperate with him in it. But if they commit evil, abstain from their evil. So when the imam prays, we will pray behind him, even if he is the leader. Even if he has sinned or acted contrary to the sunnah, due to the advantages in that. And because salah is an act of worship, and fisq and a fasiq, evildoer, prays, he should be encouraged in this and supplicated for. The companions did observe salah behind the leaders that had question marks on them, like Al-Hajjaj, Ibn Yusuf, Al-Thaqafi, and others. The companions of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, observed the salah behind them in compliance with the order of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the sake of unity. His saying, and 6 raka'at should be observed after that. This is a fiqh related issue, which came due to the mentioning of Jumu'ah prayer. The Jumu'ah prayer does not have ratiba, yani regular optional prayers to be observed before it. Therefore, whoever comes to the mosque for Jumu'ah prayer should observe whatever is easy for him and sit down to wait for the imam. But if he continues to pray nawafid, optional salah, till the imam arrives, it is better based on the fact that it is a general nafid that has no relationship with the Jumu'ah prayer. As for the ratiba of Jumu'ah, then it is performed after it. The least number of raka'at is 2, and the highest number of raka'at, based on the most popular opinion, is 4, with 2 tasneem, saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah in the last sitting position of the second raka'at. It is stated in the author's narration that the number of raka'at to be observed after the Jumu'ah prayer is 6 raka'at with 3 tasneem. Hence, the least would be 2 raka'at and the highest would be 6 raka'at or 4 raka'at, as it is popularly known. His saying, separating between every 2 raka'at with tasneem, this is the view of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah. That is, this does not mean that he should observe 6 raka'at with 1 tasneem. Rather, it is 6 raka'at with a tasneem after every 2 raka'at or 4 raka'at. This is best. His attribution to Imam Ahmad is because the author is Hanbali by madhab and knows Imam Ahmad's view. This is one of the positions reported by Imam Ahmad, that it is 6 raka'at, but it is popularly known that it is 4 raka'at.
It just very quick, inshallah. So the imam, one of those that I don't like, for example, they're not one of my favorite leaders, and they come here and, for example, not here, they cannot, you know, but they are somewhere and they're leading the salah and we are praying behind them. Doesn't matter what we hear about them and what they do in their personal life, it is obligatory on us to pray behind them. Fajran aw mu'minan. He's a believer or fajr. You have to pray for the sake of what? The unity. Because you cannot say, I want to pray behind him and I want to pray. Remember the two companions who were present when the Prophet was leading, and they were not praying. And when the Prophet finished the salah, he asked him, why did you not pray with us? He said, Ya Rasulullah, we prayed. We traveler and we prayed. He said, no. Next time when you do that, you join the imam. For the sake of what? The unity. But of course, maybe you see me on Jum'ah, like moving around while the salah is happening. This is for security reason. You know, like a brother Magdi is the first salah, he's taking care of the first. And the second one, when the salah starts, I come up here in the front. Even if it's full, somebody has to walk around and keep an eye. It's for the security, you know, especially these days. This is number one. Number two, the salah, Yom al-Jum'ah. Of course, the imam, you might come early before the imam. it is good to pray as many rak'at as you want. As the Prophet ﷺ told us, Salatul Nawafil, Mathna Mathna, Salatul Layl. Whoever wants to do Qiyamul Layl, whoever wants to do any Salah, it goes always in two. It's never, we don't have any Nafila, we do it more than two. All the Nawafil, all the voluntarily Salah, is always comes in twos with Taslim. And you do as many as you want. But here for Salatul Jum'ah, they said, before the Imam, you want to do two Raktahiyat al-Masjid, you want to add another two until the Imam comes, you want to add another two, no problem. But the problem is when I'm doing it, I'm standing with the member, and the brother, when I say Salaamu Alaikum, he's still doing it. I'm like, okay, brother, okay, the Imam is on the member, and they misunderstand it, they have to do the six rak'at, even, or, you know, if they follow the six rak'at, or whatever rak'at, they look at the Imam, and they're still praying, which is, of course, mukhalif al-Sunnah. This is against the Sunnah. The Sunnah is whenever the Imam is on the member and you are in the Salah, then you make them, don't finish, but you make your Salah faster. You know, you make it fast. Don't tajweed al-Fatiha, tajweed al-Na'a, you know, fast so you can listen to the Imam. Because, subhanAllah, look for the hikmah of Yawm al-Jumu'ah. From four rak'at dhuhr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it two rak'at. Two rak'at. He decreased الفرض الفريضة for what? For the khatib, for the time for the khutbah, because this is very important. This is our addressing the nation every week. وذكر. Can you believe it? Can you think of the hikmah behind it? Well, you could have been given the tafkir, you know, reminder once every month, but it's continuous every Friday. And you can hear them, أوصيكم بتقوى الله ولزوم طاعته وأحذركم وأحذر نفسي من عصياني. I advise you to fear Allah, and I warn you and I warn myself every week, and remind you الدار الآخر, remind you for a reason. So therefore, when we do the يوم الجمعة, this is one of the things that we do is after Salah, you can do which is the راجح, القول الراجح, which is we go, which is four rak'at after the obligatory, and you can do as up to six and to do before the Imam stands up. Somebody calling anything?
No.
Okay. So this is what the Imam is the author is saying. The last thing is the more important, which is I have to pinpoint here, is no one choose their own knowledge to say things in matters of the deen, especially when it comes the matter of leading a leadership for the Muslims. It doesn't matter who is leading, you know, like it goes from one crook to another, or whatever you want to call them, from one good one to another good one, you know, if you want to call them good one. But really, they're not good, you know. The reality is, you know, this Mu'allif is talking about an Imam who's going for the Ra'iyah. He's going with them to Hajj. He's fighting with them. He's not staying back there. And why he's going to Hajj, you think, for the privilege? To look into their problems, to solve their problems, to help them to ease their Hajj, to support them, not to get the benefit and the privilege for themselves. This is a real leadership, which is something we're missing these days. Inshallah, it will come when the right time comes, inshallah. The jihad part, as I mentioned, it's not up to one. Look at Uthman, what he said, radiallahu anh. They are under his siege, and they're preventing him from leading the salah. Slowly, slowly. Now, when they were under siege, he was leading the Muslims. And at a certain point, they stopped him from coming out to Al-Mihrab. They prevented him. Can you believe this? And they said, subhanAllah, you know, they under siege me, they prevent me. It was fine with me. But they bribe me from Mihrab Rasulullah SAW. Something big to Uthman radiallahu anhu, especially when he was old. He wasn't young like us. He was in his 80s. His white beard. And they still will not even hesitated of killing him and you know, spilling his blood for their ignorance. And when he was told what about someone from them leading, he said, as long as he ya'mur al-ma'ruf, you know, he's doing good things and commanding with good things, follow him. This is a hikmah from an imam who wants to keep the unity between the Muslims and keep the fitna away. Which is, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to bring this back, inshallah. And more important for any community is very important. We come from different backgrounds, we different teachings, different school of thoughts. The real success is how you bring the whole community together under one flag, without any touchy issues that you hurt this brother or to hurt that brother or to hurt brother. No, the masjid or the leadership is always bringing the hearts together, uniting them, educating them, and a placing the love for each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, it's either one of the two, either you pray on me or I pray on you. So we have to really to be sincere to each other and always to remember our brothers and sisters who are really under extreme, you know, test. I want to call it test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا تحسبوه شرا لكم. Don't think it's bad. Always think it is always good, right? Yeah. And anything that when someone try to plot a plot against the Muslims, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always يقلب الأمور. يقلب الله الليل والنهار. As Allah flipped the night and the day, He can also flip this fact that those who are trying to plot against Islam, it will go against back against them, will backfire at them, because this deen, deenullah, it is deenun ghalib. No doubt who is going to be against it or not. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring the unity and the harmony between the Muslims and to give us what is best for us and to benefit us from what we learn, inshallah. أن يعلمنا ما ينفعنا وأن ينفعنا بما علمنا وأن يزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.
Ask the Lord, don't forget.